Let's go.
Totally Beverages.
And sometimes hot sauce.
That is a tasty root beer.
Coffee.
Water.
Cerveza.
Mountain Dew.
Beverages. Beverages.
Beverages hot sauce.
Beverages. Beverages.
Beverages hot sauce.
Welcome to Totally Beverages and Sometimes Hot Sauce, the show that was almost called K-Cups with Ro-Ro. Oh, boy. I am your host, Psychic Andy, here as always, my man, the blue-eyed barbarian JoJo. How are you doing? We were going to have a bit of a tan-off in, I don't know if the lightning is helping me, but it seems you might have won that battle.
I'm going to say I won it. I'm going to say this is not a white balancing issue, or the fact that I have all the natural sunlight closed out of here and you work in an Apple store. I think that this is, I think I won fair and square.
That's great. That's great. You had a really nice update on the trip on the social media. What were your bevs in general? Give me a real quick recap of the vacation.
Sure. Okay. Uncle Rich brought a lot of low octane beers, a lot of Miller 64s and Michelob Ultras.
Oh, wow.
I drank a couple of those, didn't love it. Got into a lot of 32-ounce beverages, as I shared. There was one of those margaritas with a tiny Corona in the top, and also a big college-based tropical beverage in a plastic bucket. And I shared those on our Instagram. Then there was also Medieval Times.
Wow.
That is a show exclusive. That included a bottomless plastic goblet of, sweet tea.
Yeah.
And then also the Queen's private reserve wine, which was red wine.
Some sort of boxed wine for sure.
In a commemorative glass, which of course fantastic. I kept. I flew back with it.
Great.
I didn't bring it to the show.
No reason to bring that to a show where people could see that, but that's okay.
No. Look, it's in safekeeping. I had to make sure it was protected. And so I keep it with my own Kingsguard here at the castle. That is it. I think that was it. And then we drank. I mean, I drank a lot, I have to say. It was a beverage. Staying hydrated. Hydro Flask on the beach, all 32 ounces, stand cold all day, is beautiful. Sand inside the joint of the no-spill topper. That is a problem. I don't know how that's coming out or if it ever is. It's a little grit. It's got a little grit to it now. But it was worth it and stayed cool out there. And, just drank lots of random variety packs of hard seltzers and beers.
Fantastic.
Pretty solid.
I love it. It sounds.
How about you?
Delightful.
You didn't give any updates at all. Did you did you drink anything on vacation?
I did. And I have one video that I will post. I need to do a little work on it, but no, it was delightful.
Oh, you're going to do work. You're going to do. Okay.
I need to do a little work on it. Elizabeth got crazy with some ube pina coladas.
Mama.
Yeah. I really kind of stuck to the tequila and I've been trying to hone in on my favorite tequila for years. And so I was doing a lot of different tequilas, having fun with that. Went crazy on the pineapple juice, fresh pineapple juice. Oh, my goodness. I had it once like 3 days in, and then it was every single day I'd have it at lunch. It seemed like my favorite.
Ooh. You have any of that passion orange guava on
the
plane?
See, I have a video on that. You are reading my mind. Yes. So I got crazy with the Pog juice as well. Delicious. I'll post something about that soon. That's a good reminder, JoJo.
Did the tequila and the pineapple juice ever meet?
And what was really, the tequila and the pineapple, God, you're in my brain right now. They met only, I would have a sidecar of pineapple juice, and then I have a tequila neat next to it. And that's like it's the perfect combination. Like, it's really, I really think I might start being that guy just ordering that at bars, although
I
don't know if you can
you.
Really get the fresh pineapple juice at many bars.
Probably not the fresh, but you could probably get a can of Dole.
But that's a pretty great drink order, isn't it? Like, I'll have Codigo Reposado neat and a side of pineapple juice, please.
Whatever you have. And I'll keep the whole can, whatever the size. You'll get one of those big juicy juice ones that needs the can opener.
Or just no ice. Tequila neat, pineapple juice, no ice.
The whole thing is staying room temperature.
No, I just think that I didn't do that on vacation, but I think that's what I'm going to do moving forward. It just seems kind of sick. I don't know.
I like this. I feel good about this for you. It bodes well.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, let's get into the rest of the business real quick. We got an amazing guest coming up in a few moments here. Let me add this to the stream here. Vision board. Not much to update this week. We were on vacation last week. I was dreaming on vacation, but I don't have anything to add this week. Do you, JoJo, have anything to add?
I don't have anything to add, but I'll tell you what I'm excited to see gone.
Tell me.
That's Olipop.
Oh, good Lord.
It's going to be banished from the vision board after today, and I'm not sure where to send it because it's not going on to Manifestations Made Reality.
Yeah, straight to hell, maybe?
It could go straight to hell. If any listeners have any ideas of where you'd like to see dashed dreams go to, ones that we reject, not the ones that, well, I guess they kind of did reject us, but we are turning this on them by drinking Poppy prebiotic sodas today, our new favorite, no matter what happens. Olipop, who rejected my reach out for free beverages.
we're just not that loyal of guys, are we?
No,
really?
Because then I gladly paid for the Poppy ones out of pocket.
All right. Well, listeners in the chat, if you have any idea what we should do with Olipop, yeah, it can't go on Dreams Come True. And it feels like just taking it off is... We need a little bit of extra fanfare, I think. We'll do that next week.
Yeah, and look, we have a pretty good track record, I have to say, with naming our enemies. I have to say,
yeah,
it started out as a joke that Alton Brown was a nemesis and sort of a running bit on the show, but then it looks like he's not the coolest dude in town, even if you might still be using some of his recipes. So just saying, Olipop, probably run by neo-Nazis. I don't know. Anything's possible.
Wow. You've been put on notice. Yeah. Wow. We got... Wow, I do need glasses, I think. Is that El Juan, maybe? 77? Said, yeah. Dumpster on fire. Rejected items go into a virtual dumpster. Oh, I like the visual of that. Yeah, something like that.
Sure.
Given the prebiotics, it should go in the shitter. We're going to get to that, okay. J.R. Lon 47, because I'm not exactly sure if that's true. We're going to get to that, though. You might be thinking of probiotics like I was, but that's coming later in the show with our guest in a few minutes here. The GFY board. Well, here's the thing, Randy. That's tricky, because on this show, go fuck yourself is a term of endearment, and I don't feel any endearment towards Olipop. So that's a tricky one. JoJo, any final thoughts?
The dumpster on fire is currently leading the race. Yeah. But, Shabo Bay knows what's up. GFY is like aloha.
Exactly. Exactly.
Roro was trying to use them interchangeably on his Hawaiian vacation recently.
Can we talk about
results?
Can we talk about GFY and go fuck yourself and the show as a term of endearment? I've noticed on our social media, a lot of people like to comment that, which that's great. We're all having fun, but I've noticed I'm worried that we might be getting shadow banned sometimes, because sometimes I have to click that button that says if I want to see explicit comments. So maybe just on our social media, maybe we can stick to GFY from here on out.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Keep with the acronym. I've also noticed recent guests have been cringing more at that than they did in the earlier podcast days.
We might need to update ourselves. Anyways, let's move on, though.
Times are tough, man.
Go find us, speaking of social media, at T-Bash Live. On all of these, there is a link in bio, and that link in the bio is a great little link tree that will take you to wherever you need to be. And next week, you're definitely going to want to be up in our Discord to get some recipe, because next week, recipes, we're doing old fashions. We're going to do two pre-mades. We're doing On the Rocks Knob Creek Old Fashioned, and we're doing the Bullet Old Fashioned Cocktail. And then our third little wild card is my wife Elizabeth's Amazing Old Fashioned, and it is a doozy. We're going to put the recipe for that in the Discord. Again, link in bio will take you anywhere you need to go, T-Bash related. So do that. In addition, next week, our guest, let's just say... She's an OG T-Bash, friend of the show.
Old-fashioned drinks for an old-fashioned guest.
Indeed. I don't want to reveal too much because our guest has some shooting schedules that might be tricky to get around, but I think there's, let's just say, I think there's a 95% chance that they will be joining us. Their name rhymes with Schmartimus, so get excited about that next week. And I think that's
it's not
it for the
any bells.
No bells for you. Okay.
No.
I think that's it for the biz. I'm really excited to bring up our guest on the show. Jojo, are you ready for this?
I'm ready. I was actually born ready for this episode. Shout out to the listeners who did realize this is indeed an episode of the show in the comments. Also, yes, born ready for this. So stoked. This has been many, many years in the making, but today is the day, and I would have no other.
Today is the day. Okay, so tonight's, well, this, we're doing a special early a dish, actually. I should have wrote early a dish special guest. They are the editor-in-chief of Cooks Illustrated. Oh, boy. Host on America's Test Kitchen. Oh, boy. I'm getting nervous, Jojo.
It is
a friend of cats and might like ducks. We're going to find out about that. Look at this little mug here. We're going to have to ask about this mug. That's incredible.
It's adorable.
And they drink things. And check out the 7-Up t-shirt. Please welcome to the show, Dan Souza.
What's going on, guys?
Oh, yeah.
You guys really did your research. You had like four different things on that.
Yes,
oh, yeah, we have
did.
Tons of
that
stuff.
Bullet list.
We might need to turn down your volume just slightly for
Can
some reason.
That? Hi, Dan.
Hi. Josh, what's going on? I have to call you Jojo here. No one knows your real name.
No, you can call me Josh.
Oh, yeah, they know. They
we
know
don't
him
really
as
have
Josh
names.
As well.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me. This is really great. You guys have been drinking stuff and doing hot sauce for a long time,
God.
It seems like.
Years and years and years, and we're not qualified at all. You, my friend, have all the credentials we could ever dream of, and so that's why I said before, I'm a little nervous that you're here with us, because I feel like you're going to drop some knowledge maybe on us. No pressure, but you're qualified. That's all I'm saying. You have the qualifications where we don't. We might not even have a passion for this. It's just a love.
Oh, it's a love. It's not a passion. It's just a love.
Love. Like one that you're born with. Like, you know, yeah, like it is like a love for a family member or something.
Or maybe it is just a like we really like beverages.
Yeah, it's important that you stay hydrated. This is just a survival kind of thing for you.
Indeed.
Doesn't That's really right. go beyond that.
So,
well, guys, now I even wore a little bandana for the show specifically. Ooh. I don't know, can you see it
here,
from
let
there?
Me, I'm going to zoom in on you so we can
please do.
Yeah, zoom in
so
see if you can get
show
it.
People a little more. What do we got cracking right here?
Can you see that guy?
Is that a Topo Chico situation?
It's Topo Chico.
Topo Chico.
Yeah.
Love
that. I've never worn this for any kind of appearance, but I was like, this is it. You know, this is the drink show. And I wanted to kind of send out a vibe and also just let you know kind of where I'm coming from a beverage perspective.
Wow.
Oh, it's a strong showing.
Strong showing.
Very nice.
Have you guys talked about the Topo?
Yeah, we've definitely.
And how many times?
We've talked about it. I don't think we've ever had it on the show, except I've had it many weeks recently,
no.
Josh. I don't know if you or the listeners have noticed me pulling it into frame at all. We've been drinking a lot lately here, and I actually thought it would be a great sidecar for today's flight that we're doing, but I'm out of it. All right, I had some warm ones, and I don't like them warm. I like them cold, but are you a big fan of the Topo Chico, Dan?
I am. And yeah, warm ones, they can kill you, opening a warm one and then drinking it. Yeah, I love it. So, you know, I'm a New Englander, born and bred, and I think we just really like, if it's going to be carbonated, we want it really, really carbonated. And Topo is just insane amount of carbonation. It punches. It can't be too pleasurable, you know, in New England. So it's got to hurt a little bit too. And that's why I think Topo does that. I'm also a polar seltzer guy out of Worcester. When I'm more
sure.
like, you know, want to
drink
local.
The big bear, the big inflatable bear. Yeah.
Yeah. The bear that they like sued Coke over when Coke was doing all those. I mean, I don't know if you guys want to get this hard this quick, but like, they sued Coke
all
over polar bear.
Yes, please.
Is all you can do. Yeah. And those ads, remember those luscious Coke ads where they'd slide down in the snow and then pop open Cokes. And Polar was like, we were here first with the polar bear. Get out of here. And they won. So they got it back.
I didn't know so that. That's amazing. We've definitely talked about polar before. And Dan, I love that you brought up kind of bubble size and bubble feeling and it punching. Polar definitely, I feel like, has a bigger bubble than, say, your LaCroix. And I'm definitely feeling you with Topo Chico. Do you have any idea? Is that real? Like, or is it in our heads? Like, can some of these beverages have bigger bubbles, actually? More carbonation? Is that what's doing it?
You mean a physically bigger bubble, like a wider, like a, if you use a spectrometer on the bubble, would it be bigger? Or you mean like more that self-flagellation that Dan's talking about?
Both, honestly.
Both. So bubble perception usually correlates to the amount of carbonation you have in the drink. So the amount of CO2 you have dissolved in there. So like, I don't know if you ever heard, have you guys done champagne? I mean, sure. Probably you guys are high rollers, but you know how like people talk about like old champagne.
We did Ace of Spades and Dom.
Wow. That's fun. That's a really fun one. But yeah, people talk about like old champagne having like fine bubbles. And it's really that like old champagne is just less carbonated. So it does have nice fine bubbles, but that's kind of why. So yeah, I mean, producers can decide how much they pack in. There's obviously a limit. But if you ever get like the glass club sodas, you know, those bottles that you use behind bars, those things are heavily carbonated, much more so than a can. You know, and you can feel like a cold can and see how much they're doing. Spindrift, which is a Waltham-based bev maker, awesome fresh juice seltzers. Because they have juice in there, which provides like nucleation sites and lots of foaming, they undercarb them a little bit so that you can find they're a little bit squishy, even cold. But they have to do that to so that it's not going to be like in your face. But I love heavy carbonation. I live for carbonation.
Dan,
the can is squishy, even cold.
Check it out.
I'm just basking in this. Like, we've talked about Spindrift many times on this episode. We had a guest recently, Dan Greger, we had a whole discussion of how hard it is to find certain types of Spindrift and whatnot, but never ever have we learned this little beautiful fact that you just dropped on us. So you're in the right place. So how we start most shows, or every show really, with our guest is what we're going to do is called the beverage profile with you. Okay. So what you're going to do for us is you're going to take us through a typical day in your life, starting from the moment you wake up to when you go to bed. And you're going to kind of take us through the beverages you might have in this typical day from the start of the day. So what time do you wake up in the morning typically?
As late as I possibly can, but it's usually 7:30 or 8, depending on the, you know, for work days.
Sure. Yeah, you can pick the day. So work day is good.
Work day is good because, you know, weekends are all over the place. I don't have kids, so there's no structure at all to my life. But I wake up and the first thing I do is I go plug in my Zojirushi water heater because I got to get my tea going. Have you guys ever had tea?
Oh, I've had tea before.
Yeah. So it's so good. It's one of my favorite beverages.
What's this heater you again, though, Dan? Let's slow down. What's this heater here? Because you dropped something there. What is this?
So it's a Japanese brand called Zojirushi.
How do you spell that?
And
or approximately, I'm going to look it up.
Zojirushi.
Oh my god!
And they make incredible products. They make the best rice cooker. Josh, you got the rice cooker? Is that what you're about to say?
No, I think I have a travel mug. Check.
Really?
I'm going to check. Yeah. You go off. Yes. So they make a rice cooker.
I believe they would make that. Go on. Yeah. But like top of the line, that kind of stuff. And so this hot water heater can hold 3 or 4 different temperatures. So once it's up to temp, you literally just hit a button and you fill it up. So if you're brewing like an oolong or something like that, and you want it at 195 for every time you brew, it just holds there as long as you want it to. I got that set up, and that guy goes on the first. That's the very first thing I do is just plug it in, let it get going.
So that's on your nightstand. Sings a little song.
This thing is like a little.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wish I had one on my nightstand. I got to come all the way to the kitchen.
Is it just a button and it's ready to go because it is set like how you had it the last time, or do you have to dial in the settings each time?
Yep. I pretty much leave it on 195 for most of my brewing. So yeah, I literally just have to plug it in and then it heats up and it sings a little song when it gets the temperature.
Music to your ears. I'm sure.
Do you know the song?
I do know the song. It's like, you know, it's like one. Oh, it's yeah, like that. It's a classic.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Game of Thrones theme song.
But my, yeah, I think it's Game of Thrones.
Does it hold the temp? It could hold the temperature. You could keep this thing like a little tea jacuzzi going all day on the counter if you wanted. All day.
Yeah.
I mean, it sounds unnecessary, but that's pretty yeah, amazing. Oh, wow.
I love it. I love it. And you know, you can buy like the gooseneck, you know, coffee pour over setups now that have mm-hmm, like temperatures and that's all good and all. But like, this is like a big reservoir of water and it's just sitting there and you can just like hit it and dispense it. So, one of my fave things. And so then I'm off to the races with tea in the morning. So, I actually have a little, this is one of my teapots, which also combines my love of cats with tea, which is nice.
Yes.
But I've got a whole tea kit and I'll choose my tea for the day. Usually just do one on the weekend. Sometimes I'll do like side by sides and that kind of stuff. Choose one and I'm just back and forth filling it up. And
sorry, what's side great by about sides doing, on the weekends with two teas. You might have
two different teas.
A couple
yeah,
going on. So you do like my yeah, children will do with whole milk and tap water and make what they call milk water.
And just uh-huh, make the milk water in their mouth.
Yeah, wow. Yeah. Are you doing that sounds, with teas?
Usually swallowing before getting the next one in.
Okay.
But I'm not opposed to trying
that. Do
you
need two pots for that action or one pot to make the two teas?
Yeah, I've got lots of little pots. I could show them to you. I don't
and
know
is this
how
the,
much we want to get
is
into.
This the kind of machine that we're talking or no?
These look like carafes to kind of hold it hot. Primarily for coffee.
Or I'm the heater that you were talking, the Japanese brand.
Yeah, go up to maybe water boilers and warmers maybe. Let's see what's going on here. Is this Ojirushi site? Yeah, see that black? Yes, here we go.
Am I getting
this one right here?
Oh, right there.
Boom.
Oh.
There you go. Mine's white, but that looks really sleek and black.
Well, it's good they value your privacy.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, nice and insulated.
Wow, look at this.
I like that. Okay. All right. Okay. Okay. Sorry. So getting back to the tea. So what's a typical tea?
Beautiful.
Are you switching it up a lot or do you have some go-tos?
Yeah, I switch it up, but I love oolong teas and especially green oolongs. So, you know, the spectrum kind of splits with like darker and green. I like green. If we really want to drill down, I like green high elevation oolongs from Taiwan. That's my...
Say that again. I'm sorry. Fave. I talked over you.
No. Right. So... green high elevation oolongs from Taiwan.
And what does the those high the, elevation bring to the table?
It does a ton for aroma. Like you can taste like the higher you go, I mean I'm sure there's some sort of limit, but like the higher teas are considered competition grade, like best grade, and they win all the awards and stuff like that in Taiwan. And I think in China as well. But they just do different stuff to the flavor. You get like richer aromatics and more intensity. I've never really looked into like exactly why that happens, but it's got to be like temperature and like you know day night fluctuations and all that good stuff. But they're so good. They're just the best thing you can drink, I think.
What? Where are you acquiring
hey,
most teas?
Jojo, hold on 1 second. I know soaking it all in, but I actually do think you're on a bit of a delay too. Will you jump out
I think
of the stream
so too.
And jump back in? If
okay.
You,
oh, I am?
No. You're great, Dan. You're great. I think,
no, me.
Oh, Jojo's
I think Jojo.
Jojo,
yeah. Pop out 1 second, Jojo, and then pop back in.
Yeah, we know this. This is how I lost my job.
I think.
Did he lose this job for a period of time? And you brought him back?
Yeah. No, that never happened. He's joking.
How about now?
Oh, there we go. I feel like now we're more in time.
Okay.
Okay. So Jojo, yeah, continue with what Dan dropped about these high elevation teas.
High elevation teas, Taiwan, that are so good. They're competition grade. They're ready for the Kumite or the Kumite. And they are they able, are do you get them locally? Do you have to order them? Do you have a tea shop you go to?
So I do my ordering online. They're definitely available locally where most people live. I would say there's, you know, you could find your purveyor nearby and they would definitely have some high, they probably would call them high mountain oolongs and absolutely. get them there, but I have two places that I get my tea at. One is for these specific ones. It's called mountaintea.com. It's a Taiwanese group. I think they've been doing it since the 80s, and I think they grow some and then also source some. But they drill down. So you can go like dark oolong, green oolong, competition grade, you know, whatever. And their prices are really fair. I think tea, what's amazing about it, I mean, it's the second most popular beverage in the world, right behind water. So it's not like I'm spilling any news here, but like it is for like the complexity and everything that you get, it's the price just doesn't line up with that. Like there's no way wine, anything else can even compete with it. Coffee. And you get so much variety from just like a single plant, basically, just depending on how you process it. It gives us like all teas. So it's just fascinating.
I love that. And what
that's such a, yeah.
Or I was going to say, what does the oolong bring to the table? Like what's it known for compared to a green tea or a black tea, for example?
It's a great question. And I feel like I might not have like it's haunting sort of. I mean, I'm going to get a little bit poetic about it, but like it has a haunting quality to it that like just no other tea in my mind really has. So it's a level of processing between a green tea and a black tea, right? And what defines a lot of differences in tea is oxidation. So which is like, you know, your avocado turns brown and it sucks. Your basil turns brown and it sucks. Oxidation in tea is what drives so much flavor. And so it is more processed than a green tea. So more abused and rolled and bruised up. So more oxidation can occur, but less so than a black tea. And so I kind of feel like those sit as a little bit more extremes. You know, if you look at like a Japanese green tea, it's steamed. So there's no toasty flavors or anything, but it's basically just dried, steamed, and it's fresh green flavor, right? It's like cut grass and artichokes and that kind of stuff. Mm. Whereas black teas are on this other extreme of like, let's see how much processing we can do to like bring out these crazy floral aromas and all this kind of stuff. And oolong just sits in the middle and kind of covers a wide range. But you can get a crazier range of aromas, but I have a hard time describing like that oolong magic. Even though I've like drank it a long time and I love it, there's just something haunting and unmistakable about its flavor.
And what happens to the caffeine between these varieties? Is there a difference with the oxidation in that regards, or is caffeine more determined by the leaves themselves and like where they're coming from, et cetera?
Yeah, there is a difference, and I haven't actually dug that much into caffeine on it. I know it definitely matters, like the plant it's coming from and the variety, you know, of the tea plant. The growing conditions has a lot to do with it. But I think in general, you're going to get more caffeine out of, say, like a black tea than you would a green tea.
Yeah.
So more of that processing. But I don't feel like I'm expert on the caffeine situation there. What I love about drinking oolongs that when they're really high quality, you can brew a small amount of tea over and over, or not a small, like a decent amount of tea over and over again.
Yeah.
So you get the infusions change as you go. It's called like gongfu cha. So it's like brewing tea with skill, and there's a whole ceremony around it. I don't do it its proper way, but basically these infusions, and it changes over time. And as the day goes on, it also becomes less and less caffeinated. So, you know, what I've started this morning, I could probably drink into the evening because there's very little left at that point, but you're still getting some subtle flavor to it. So it lives with you throughout the day.
I love that so much. And the thing you said earlier about the price per, like the value you get out of the amount. And I think the problem that so many people have is, say, coffee. I certainly have this where like, I love it. I'm drinking some right now, but as soon as this cup is done, I can't drink anymore. I will feel like I want to throw up. So but I would love to. I wish I could drink it all day. And I think there's a great like initial value about tea, as you're pointing out, that idea that like you could just add more water and you still have some version of this beverage. It might taste a little bit different, but it's still, right, like it's still the thing that you want to have, still hot if you want it hot. It's still, you know, it'll have all those actual beverage qualities, but the fact that it gets less and less potent caffeine-wise as the day goes on is it feels like a huge benefit. And I could see that might even be some reason why it is as like internationally popular as it is over like millennia, right? That you have this drink that is like, no, this is suitable to drink basically around the clock, because I can just keep doing this. You don't have to have much to make a lot. It's much more, economically valuable and kind of like sustaining is a really cool point.
Yeah. And I think it is. And what's interesting about it is, like, in my mind, like, everything is already in that tea when you get it. And like, you can mess up tea brewing, right? Like, you can brew too hot for that leaf or leave it too long. That can happen. But it's really just, you're unlocking it with a simple brew, right? Right temperature, right amount of time, take it out. When it tastes good to you, you're done. On the other side is coffee, which, like, you can get really great coffee from Ecuador and everything has been put into it. It's been, you know, it's farmed sustainably and roasted perfectly, and you get it and you can, like, grind it poorly and then brew it poorly and it tastes like crap. And so I think there's a really nice thing of, like, you're going on a trip, like, put your tea in your bag and, like, wherever you go, I can brew in any place if I can just get hot water and a cup. You know, I'll just throw tea leaves in the bottom, pour hot water, and I'm gone. So I love that aspect of it too, where I think you actually get to drink what the farmer producer intended pretty much every time, versus with coffee, you could be over here and it's not really, you know, best version of it. So it also depends on how much you like geeking out and want to, like, you love fine tuning your grinder and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So, and I like both, but tea I think is, I don't know. I like that aspect of it a lot.
And so, okay, so you're firing it up in the morning. How much tea are you drinking in the morning? And let us know if there's anything else you're bringing into this morning run of the day. So you're starting with a cup, I assume, and then what happens?
Yes, I'm starting with a cup. And so, you know, it comes with this great little cat cup next to it. So that's a nice little size there.
Wow, it came with that.
Yeah, it came with that. Amazing. I didn't have to buy it separately at all. And so, yeah, I drink a lot of those. But this pot, I'll probably fill this up through the kind of early morning meetings and stuff two or three times.
Okay.
Right. So it's great. Super tasty. At the same time, I'm firing up, just good old H2O.
Yeah.
Just some nice water. I think I'm a perennially, dehydrated person. So I just got to keep the water going all day long. And then, like, getting towards lunchtime, I start getting into, carbonated water. And right now it's Topo or it's Spindrift. Like, that's kind of where my focus is. I want, like, fruit juicy stuff, or I want, you know, just straight water.
What are your, and with water, no ice, it looks like.
Yeah. I don't like it that cold. Yeah. There's a big, like, split in my family of, like, who wants ice in their water and who doesn't, between, like, my mom, my dad, my sister, stuff like that. And it's this weird thing where, like, no one seems to remember it, or everyone wants to say their preference every time we get together. So it's like, you want ice in your water, you know, or like getting water. It's like, no ice for me. And it's like, yeah, you're my mom. My mom wants ice. Like, you know, I've known her for a really long time, and same with my dad. And, but it's gotta be talked about every time.
Sure.
I love it.
I love it. Cover it again and again.
And Spindrift flavors, what is in the fridge?
So, some I love. The grapefruit one, I think, is just perfect, and that's an always. I got the pineapple one recently, and I like that a lot. It's nice. It's really good pineapple flavor. That one has a little more juice in it, I think, just to get that pineapple flavor. Mango orange is good.
I saw that has more mango in it now.
Oh, it does? It's got more?
Yes, they upped the mango. I saw that at Trader Joe's yesterday.
Oh, wow. You got your finger on the pulse of Spindrift. I like that.
I go grocery shopping about once a week, so, you know.
Not to brag.
Yeah, well.
To brag. So then the lemon and the lime are fabulous, but I'd rather, like, you know, they're a little acidic, so they're not like a drink all day sort of situation for me, but, you know, maybe with some bitters in it and stuff like that as a nice beverage later on.
Ooh. Dressing it up. Dress it up a little bit.
Yeah, or get some other juice in there too for that. Like, that's what I like, taking them in. You know, the grapefruit one, you got some fresh grapefruit, get that in there as well. Make something a little bit fancier later in the day. But I don't do that during the day because I try to have something special later on.
Okay, all right. So keep us going. So lunch.
Wait, I have a question. Yeah, go for it. I got a couple more water questions. Tap water, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because Massachusetts with the great tap water.
It's good. Yeah, I'm drinking Boston water right now. This is Boston water.
Just right out of the sink. You just fire up that sink, faucet it full blast. And
it tastes good. It's clean as far as I've heard.
Sure. You know? That's a lucky thing. So you're not messing around with Brita's or anything else like that. This is not coming out of the fridge. It's
not coming out of the fridge. So it's not too cold either, right? It's just like, right. I can get the temp I want there. I grew up where I grew up, outside of Boston, we had a well. So it was well water, and there, that water was delicious. I mean, it still is. My folks live in that same house. And so I'm glad that Boston also has solid stuff.
Mm-hmm. You like to sneak a ladle full when you're back visiting, dip into the well.
Yeah, like right into my backpack, you know, and sure. Take it home with me.
Is there, this is a question we ask most guests as well. With your water, would you call yourself a sipper or a chugger?
I guess a sipper, but like a big sipper.
Mm. Oh, a big sipper.
A big sipper. Yeah. Nice. If we can expand the definition a little bit. Yeah. I'm not chugging unless it's like, I'm, you know, very dehydrated and I need it. Otherwise I'm a big sipper, but not like too little. I used to play this prank on people and I feel really bad about it. Maybe that's why I'm bringing it up, where like someone asks you, they're like, I'm so thirsty, you give me a glass of water. And you're like, of course, you run and grab it and you fill it up with just like just enough that, you know, it won't be enough. Like it won't be satisfying, but like a little bit of water there.
Like how, what are
and
we
then you're like, oh yeah, here you go.
What are we talking? Like give, in a regular glass.
So you've got a glass like this and you're filling it up. I'm holding it like a 12
not even
ounce
that
glass.
Much.
You're,
yeah, like lower. Like
a quarter
it's enough
wet
to like
of the way.
Just wet the palate and like, no. Oh. It's like, it's so messed up. I don't know why I did that.
That's vicious. And then they can't say anything to you because it's like, well, that's like, this is not enough water for a human being. And you're like, just looking at them like, well, enjoy it. It's all you're getting.
I got you water. That, yeah. It doesn't go over well. I'm not recommending it at all.
I like that a lot. I also like the gag where you fill it all the way to the rim. So it's very uncomfortable handing it to them and watching them deal with that.
If two people say they want water, you could give one the tiny amount and then one the too full amount and just hand them both. Let them figure it out.
That reminds me of, so I have a buddy who talked about this idea for a long time, and then I was with him when he actually did it, where he loved the idea of, like, you know, you can send a drink to someone at a bar and be like, wink, wink, of sending an ice water to someone at the bar. And it's kind of genius though, because like, all right, well, obviously like it's free to you, right? So you could send them all night long.
Round
for the house, you can do that. But it's also kind of a nice litmus test. Like if someone gets it and like they think it's really funny, like they're probably pretty cool, right? If they're like insanely pissed, you know, maybe it's not a match for you, because he's kind of a funny guy that would, you know, want that. But yeah, I was with him one time when he did it, and I think we had a little interaction. It didn't go anywhere. He's not married to her or anything like that, but
it also, it feels like it could be loaded, like you're drinking too much, you need some water. Yeah. I think that's the only problem with it. Where if that was out of the equation,
the only problem with
the
it.
The only problem.
Right.
But you're, I do
otherwise
like it.
It's
visibly sweaty. Yeah. You have halitosis, all these things. Yeah. These are not necessarily what the message you want to send, but
yeah, it can backfire. It's not fully realized idea.
There's something there, though, for sure.
I like it.
Okay, so lunchtime rolls around. Are you spindrifting it or polaring it up? Topo Chico, take us through the afternoon.
Yeah, I think that's pretty much where I am. You know, and if I'm like, if I really like this tea, I may have, what I'll do is I'll brew it in the pot and then maybe let it like cool for a while. And then so I'm sipping it kind of as like a, not an iced tea, but like a room temperature cool tea. If I'm at the office, we have a bevy machine that like dispenses carbonated water. So I'm probably hitting that.
Now,
but yeah, I'm a little,
is that the brand,
boring.
Is that the brand that name? Bevy is the brand name?
B-E-V-I. I think that's the name of the machine.
Oh,
yeah.
I like that.
It's got a little touch screen and a couple flavor options.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah. Which is nice. It's not the most carbonated. It does this weird thing where it'll blast good, like decent carbonated water in there, but then right when you shut it off, it drops some still water in on top. And I think it does it because it gives the appearance of a lot of, like that drop in, like activates more, you know, more bubbles. Yeah. So it looks like it, but it's not good. So if you pull it out too soon though, then you leave water in the tray. It's kind of a,
then it's a problem for your coworkers. Issue. Yeah.
Yeah, it becomes challenging there. But yeah, so I'm pretty boring, I think, with beverages during the day. Like I'm just doing the bubbly water and stuff like that.
That's fantastic. And nothing boring about this. I like to reinforce this and remind people, we've had beverage profiles where it's just still tap water the entire day. That's still very fascinating to us. There's no wrong or right way to do this.
There's a lot to learn, I guess, in that.
Yeah,
from whoever you're talking to.
Exactly.
There's always plenty to learn.
Yeah.
And I'm already liking, you know, especially thinking about where you work. The fact that there is I mean, I have like 1,000 questions about how everyone interacts with these types of products when they're in, you don't have to answer this, but I do want to know, you know, how is everyone interacting with this bevy machine? Is there a point where everyone's like, this is inefficient and trash and we have to get rid of it because as a brand, like, you know, America's Test Kitchen isn't maybe going to be in the business of like this lackluster beverage dispenser? I don't know.
No. So, I mean, I'm being picky about it, right? But like, it's a beloved thing. Like, I think we get emails when the bevy machine goes down. You know, it's that kind of thing. And there's like apologies and stuff.
So, wow, I love that.
So no, it's a popular guy. And then there's like a coffee kind of making robot next to it, which is what I call it. I don't drink the coffee there, but what I do like is you can dispense hot water and
you love that.
And it's clean hot water. Like I was thinking, oh, it's going to go through some tube that the coffee also went through and it's not going to be good, but it's a separate tube, nice clean hot water. And so, yeah, what I'll do when I go to office is I have like a big kind of Yeti style mug. Mm-hmm. And so I just throw tea in the bottom of that, pour hot water on it when I leave, the tea settles down. And so I'm drinking from that on the way in, get to the office, fill it up with water. So I'm doing that same sort of thing. I think I've heard it referred to as grandpa style tea brewing. And like, I've heard
where
that
you're
like,
just throwing the loose tea in the bottom, no diffuser or anything.
None. There are times though that it bites me where like I'm in a meeting or something like that. I take a sip and like this big oolong leaf like ends up hanging out of my mouth and there's no, like, where did that come from?
It looks
like
a piece
of spinach.
So your only filtration system is your lips in this scenario?
Well, I wouldn't do this with like a really fine tea, but oolongs, the way they pick them, there's like two leaves. Ideally, there's like a bud and a leaf, and when they unfurl, they get quite large. And so just the normal lip on like a coffee travel mug, like, can catch a lot of that too. But a lot of the tea settles to the bottom too.
Okay.
Once it opens up. So, it works pretty well. There's kind of a game. You're like, oh, it's getting a little bit too strong right now. I should drink a little faster. And, you know, you're in touch with your beverage as opposed to like from top to bottom, this will be the same beverage that I have. So it's a little different.
Sounds beautiful. Sounds like
it's fun.
A beautiful relationship you got going on there with your tea, Dan.
I think that's it. It is. It's one of the strongest relationships in my life. Yeah.
Besides your cat.
That's good.
She's right over here.
Okay, so what time is it now? Let's take us like into dinner time, sort of.
So it's 4 o'clock now. So dinner time. So if we had done this show a couple months ago, I'd have a very different answer. But I've actually been alcohol free for 2 months, almost 2 months, like 58 days right now. And so it's changed my whole concept of drinks and stuff like that. I actually really like it. I started as an experiment, and it's I feel really good. And so, but it's pushed me. This is the interesting thing. It's like, I always looked at like mocktails on menus and whatever is just kind of like, all right, they have to put it on there. It's called a mocktail. Like, we're already making fun of it anyway by the name. But I've gotten so much more into them.
Literally mocking me right now.
Mocking me. I've gotten so much more into them and like, you know, trying to kind of capture and really analyzing what's the magic of like, you know, that first drink after work, and that kind of helps you transition of like what makes it actually feel like a cocktail, yeah, or what makes it feel like a beer and stuff like that. So I've been drinking a lot of like NA beers and exploring that. A lot of brands that make like bitters and soda, and, you know, then playing with like the Spindrifts and stuff like that, where adding fresh juice, adding a little bit of bitters and they're refreshing and good. And bitterness is one thing that I've realized is a huge signal that it's like an alcoholic beverage to us, right? Think about it, especially Americans, we traditionally, bitter is not a very popular taste here, right? I think lots of other cultures appreciate it more than we do. And so during your day, you're not having a lot of bitter stuff. You know, maybe you have some bitter greens with dinner, but you're probably covering it with all this other stuff anyway. But drinks like beer, IPAs are super bitter. You know, we talk about Campari and Amaros, and like, so that's a really cool thing. And I make sure that some bitter component is in there to kind of hits you in the same way as a drink. And you're like, okay, yeah, it scratches that itch.
Oh, I love that.
Love that.
And
yeah,
I think you might have answered bitters and exactly sodas what I was thinking.
A great easy thing.
Oh, I think you guys were both talking.
What'd you say, JoJo?
Yep. Nothing.
Nothing at all.
In the last couple months, has there been one of these mocktails, if you will, that you've stumbled on that you're like, you've come back to more like a few times that you're like, oh, I'm really hitting on something that's scratching my itch?
Yeah. I think so. I make it quite a bit, and grapefruit is just magic, right? Grapefruit in drinks is just so magic, and in cocktails and anything like that. So I lean pretty heavily on it. So like, let's say I start with like the grapefruit Spindrift. I'll get a little bit of tonic in there. Mm-hmm. Tonic is also magic. So it's obvious that I got some sweetness. It's getting some bitterness in there. I don't go too heavy on it, but I'm getting that flavor and all that. Getting some grapefruit juice in the mix. Mm-hmm. So like strain it really nicely. So it's not like foaming totally like crazy. I might go in with a little bit of bitters, but, often a little bit of lime juice, you know, to kind of get that acidity in check. Grapefruit's awesome flavor, but it's not as punchy as it needs to be for a cocktail. Ooh. So getting a little bit of lime or lemon would work too in there as well. But I had at a restaurant around here, I had a drink that also had a rosemary simple syrup, like a similar drink like this that had a rosemary simple syrup and ginger beer in it, which was also really great. So I basically try to stack my fridge now with like the little cans, which you see from like Fever Tree and like all these other guys of like, you know, tonic, club soda, and some of them are flavored and they're perfect size, you know, so it's always fresh. Crack it open and you can build a great drink off of that.
I love
that. Those little 6 or 8 ounce minis.
Perfect. And they stack nicely in the fridge too.
Oh, brilliant.
So true.
You know, the glass bottles are cool. I like glass bottles. They feel cool, but those little guys are nice.
I love it. And then, so is that a before dinner or with dinner or after dinner situation?
Kind of all of the above. After dinner, maybe less so, but it's more like, like cooking dinner and then maybe having with dinner. But I'll definitely have some water with dinner too. Like, you know, those crazy flavors, not crazy flavors, but like, they, you know, it works really well as like a aperitif, but like not, it's not the best thing to have with food. But I might have one of the NA beers, which are really lovely. I mean, not lovely. They're doing a pretty good job. I feel like, you know, if you're gluten-free, now is a good time to be alive. If you have, you know, allergies to things, now is a good time to be alive compared to any other time. And I think the same thing, if you're trying to not do alcohol, there's like a lot of people putting in real effort and money to like make good beverages. So it's kind of nice in that way. But Athletic Brewing Company is like doing a solid job with beers.
Now, I have a memory like a goldfish as we talk about, but JoJo, do you remember we recently did a show of non-alcoholic IPAs. Was Athletic on the docket, and how did that one fare? Because some of the non-alcoholic IPAs really eviscerated.
I'm sure.
But we did drink that one, didn't we?
It was on there. I think it fared pretty well. I remember we were mixed on that. I think everybody, and I think us and our guests were split on sort of like what makes what's the closest to an IPA versus like, what would you actually go for in a cooler? Like we kind of talked about that too, you know, like what would you, if you saw these in a cooler at a party, at a barbecue or something, would you grab one? Even if you do drink, sort of knowing it's non-alcoholic, it's just sort of like a beer refresher.
Right.
Like you're
more than
you
wanna
slow yourself down a little bit and get like,
you know,
refreshing.
Versus like, I really want the dankness of this. Yeah. It's a different thing, right? Than if you're like, I want the sort of like dankness of like a double IPA or something, right? That is, you might have a different reach for one over the other and do
totally.
That.
Totally.
So
yeah. And
I think
like,
Athletic did all right.
So I should like, they're not the same. Obviously they're not the same, but it's really like, once you're in that world a little bit, then you're like, oh, okay. You know, and you stop comparing it quite so hard to like, I mean, like Trillium is like one of my favorite beers ever. And like right here in town, and it's, you know, every sip's incredible. They're all amazing and stuff like that. I kind of have a different, like some different to compare it to, right?
Yeah,
I try to like get into the world of it and like it's not gonna compete on that level. But the bitterness, carbonation, and some of the flavors and stuff. And I'm still not sure if like IPAs are better or like the lighter beers are better, like based on what they can actually achieve in there. But there's a lot of options, a lot more than I like. You know, I remember as a kid, it was like, what, Heineken?
Yeah, yeah.
There was like one non-alcoholic beer.
Like the St. Pauli.
St. Pauli Girl one
had like, that was the fancy non-A one. And yeah, like maybe one other one. Yeah. Now it's, we were blown away. You go, there's like a whole fridge full of them now at a lot of places. It's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's true. It's true.
Okay. So post dinner, leading up to bedtime, how are you wrapping up your day with the beverages?
I'll do a little water, but, I try not to drink too much just liquid closer to bedtime.
Yeah.
You know, I think I don't want to get up in the middle of the night. Yeah. So I'll maybe do some water, but like taper off, you know, like I think people are like, I want to be hydrated. I think Americans are obsessed with being hydrated, drinking all the time. And I'm like, yeah, but if you like keep hydrating like you did during the day up till like 11 p.m., you're going to be up a couple of times.
I know. I wake up around, I got to piss around 5 every day, and I wish I didn't. And I once had my doctor tell me, just stop drinking at like 7:30 and you should be good. But I don't listen to that. But
yeah, I think you should just dehydrate yourself as much as possible. You know, go to bed, get really dry mouth, wake up feeling terrible, but you
sleep
through the night.
A cube of salt pork under the tongue. You can just do that. Yeah. I'll roll that around until midnight.
Suck any moisture.
So is there anything on your bedside table though at the end of the night? Or is there a glass of water there for you in case you are parched in the night? Okay.
Oh yeah. And that first sip in the morning, right? That's a lovely sip. You're just like
the best.
Yes, you're doing that. We've now gone completely full circle around the clock. You will reach for a little sip.
Yes.
Off the nightstand.
Yep, I will. Beautiful. And then I'm up and over to the tea machine.
Love it. All right, we did the beverage profile. That is solid.
A beautiful.
So our next event is what we're here today.
You're the only one you're the only guest we've ever had on who's even been expected to provide any sort of context for the beverages they drink. Where I'd say 100% of all other guests get away with be like, I don't know, it's in the fridge. My roommate's had it since like last October, and I just drink that. That's usually the extent of most people. So thank you.
Oh my God. My pleasure. I'm a beverage guy. So I feel like I'm talking to the right people.
Amazing. Of course. Well, let's get into these prebiotic. It keeps throwing me, you know, probiotic, I'm so used to saying, but prebiotic sodas, this is a new kid on the block. This seems to be a bit of a fad happening in the last couple years, I would say. Jojo, what do we know about these?
Well, I'm so glad you asked. So, yeah, this is definitely news to us. It was news to us, actually, in a segment we'll get to later in the show. But something our listeners know is Brian's questions asked about, is prebiotic sodas the new fad? And we said, what the hell are you talking about? And it turns out there's like 40 brands of prebiotic sodas. Now, what a prebiotic is basically, well, we all know we have healthy bacteria that lives in our body naturally, right? And so it's all part of that gut biome. You have the prebiotics are basically food for that bacteria. And so it's basically things that can last through your digestive tract and get to your colon where that good bacteria hopefully lives, and it feeds that bacteria. And so like, do you need it? Do you need a daily probiotic? So like a probiotic is something you take as like a supplement if you don't have enough healthy gut bacteria. The prebiotics would feed that. So you could use those in concert if you're really having a tough time. But basically, there's a thing from the Cleveland Clinic that was basically just saying like, you know, you don't need either of these things if you have a healthy gut, or as they said, if you live in a healthy state. It said, well, unfortunately, most Americans don't live in a healthy state. So you might want to have some of this. Like if you don't eat the recommended 25 to 35 grams of fiber a day to help remove things from your body, these a combination probiotic prebiotic situation might help you take a giant dump.
And so we and do the I know the probiotics help with the giant dump. Just to clarify, do the prebiotics, if you didn't have the probiotics, if like let's say one of us here, and I really honestly feel like if this happens to anybody, it'll only happen to one of us, gets really jazzed about these. I for whatever reason, right. I don't think we're going to be that blown away. But let's say one of us does, and we're hooked, right? Dan tosses out all of his Spindrift and Topo Chico and is like, I'm drinking Poppy. Is that going to like affect our dumps in a big way? Do we have any idea?
I don't. Okay. I have no idea. I think I'm a little nervous
like
about like
stop there.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, what was I going to do? Like, I mean, there's. I think that the, you know, what I think is interesting is like. Kombucha has probiotics in it. Mm-hmm. The idea that then you might need to feed these little guys stuff is really funny to me. And so I don't know that shit that like throwing a bunch of food for micro, you know, to your microbiome, is it really going to like do anything on its own if you start drinking too much of it? No. I'll say no. I'm not a doctor, however.
Okay, wait.
So we'll find out. I'm really excited. I'm really excited to do this with you guys.
Just to
you pulled up the first link.
Yeah, uh-huh. Just to hammer out the difference. Probiotics and prebiotics are both. Pretty big topics in nutrition these days.
Sign up for that newsletter.
Sure are. Okay, probiotics are beneficial bacteria, and prebiotics are food for these bacteria. Okay, as you've said.
Huh. Well, it seems like what I said.
Yep. Okay.
Fascinating.
I could go further, but I'm not going to. Okay. I'll take your word on it. How are we attacking these? We got the Poppy Fun variety pack here.
It looks very fun. Can we back up a second and just like look at the, you guys look at the labels very much, like the ingredient list?
Yeah, we would love to do that.
Because if we're talking about like prebiotics, there's only one ingredient on here that is like not found in basically any other juice seltzer, and that's apple cider vinegar. It's the second ingredient, so there's, you know, going to be a decent amount of it, but that's really all we're talking about here, because otherwise we've got fruit juices, we even have sugar, which isn't great for anti-inflammatory diets, natural flavors, stevia, which I'm upset to see. We'll see how that turns out in the can, but
I loathe the sight of it. This is bad news already.
Not a good sign. But yeah, the apple cider vinegar is really the only thing. So
can I also say
we might need to hit up Beverage Compliance Bethany about this, because the issue may be that they don't need to list prebiotics as an ingredient. We have a listener who works in beverage compliance and helped us navigate what is a hard seltzer versus a malt beverage. And I think it may be, that would be my guess, is because also in the little like pop version of the ingredients on the side, it says prebiotics for a healthy gut. And then it says infused with apple cider vinegar. And then it says immunity sidekick with a little muscle arm. So I don't know if those are supposed to be separate, if we're just supposed to be like, oh, there are separate prebiotics, or is it really like, no, there are prebiotics that exist in the apple cider vinegar.
Which could be, if it's like a natural, unfiltered one. So maybe not judging by the label.
But I think, Dan, you have a point, though. And JoJo, I think you're being very nice to them. I kind of, in my gut is telling me that this is just whatever these are, infused sodas with apple cider vinegar. I think that's their whole ploy here. Like, I think that's how they're doing this whole thing. Yeah. And can I also, let's throw as much shade as we want before we drink them, because I'd like them to maybe change our minds once we crack these open. But do you guys notice that the cans, the labels on the cans, like the cans are wrapped, which just doesn't give me a very pro vibe. Does that make sense to you guys? Like,
oh yeah, I feel you. There's a seam. Hmm.
Like that, this could be like there's an operation in someone's garage, maybe. You know, they've done a really good job, but still, it just, I don't know, that really threw me off. And one other thing I want to point out, and I'm sorry to tell you this, Dan, Fun Faves just got more fun. This came in the box. This is like a little pamphlet. It says, say goodbye to grapefruit and hello to cherry limeade, our newest and most requested. Now, we didn't get cherry limeade. They must be trying to get ahead of the backlash that they're going to get have from this. You have cherry limeade?
I got grapefruit. No, I got grapefruit.
I have grapefruit, too. But it's interesting. They have this flyer that grapefruit's going to be going
I think
away.
They're announcing a seasonal change. I think it's an announcement of a seasonal change.
Oh, you think it's seasonal?
In this pack. I don't know. There's a lot of talk in the chat when Dan brought up Spindrift about the seasonal rotations of some of those flavors. I think that might be all that's happening. I'm not going to, I feel like now I'm doing too much heavy lifting for Poppy here, because the other thing is, in a quick Google search for about apple cider vinegar as a prebiotic, the second link that shows up is from Drink Poppy, and now it's a 404 error. You cannot read about it. But there, it seems as though from the preview here that that is pectin fiber from apples that are in the apple cider vinegar, but that basically it's a, it's kind of like saying there's 7% juice in this as a benefit, that it's nowhere near the amount of pectin that you would get from just eating an apple. I have a guess. I also have a theory about this company, if we want to throw a little bit more shade their way before we start.
I love it.
Is I believe that they will get some kind of cease and desist on the trademark phrase of be gut happy, be gut healthy, as not meeting any kind of like wellness standards that maybe this the drink implies. That's my guess, but it's really hard to say.
They might be able to keep be gut happy. That's probably not ever going to be a regulated thing, right?
Yeah, you can be gut happy with a cheesesteak, solidly.
So what should we start with? I say we either start or finish with the grapefruit, just because we know Dan likes the grapefruit so much. Do you want to kick it off or end with that, Dan?
Let's maybe end with that. I feel like I tend to like to go... Actually, I don't know. I feel like we should go maybe like more acidic.
Do you mind plating this for us? I feel like this is your... Yeah. Okay. Yeah, this is it. I feel like you could determine a path for these.
So I'm going with like...
Better than we could.
Like wine knowledge here. So like if you have a wine that's like more acidic, like if you go from like... what's the direction here? Yeah, if you go from more acidic to like sweeter, you're in a good shape. But if you go from like if you have something sweet, the acidic one's going to taste even more acidic. So the order that I would go based on that is like the ginger lime is first. And obviously we're guessing. I would go strawberry lemon after that, considering it's got the lemon in there.
Love it.
I think orange and grapefruit are probably, maybe grapefruit, then orange, then raspberry rosé, and then watermelon. This is a guess at sweetness.
I want to end on raspberry rosé. Can we switch the watermelon with the raspberry rosé, do you think?
Definitely. And so they're all showing... Yeah, so it actually checks out. If you look at the sugar content too, the lime and the strawberry lemon have only 4 grams of sugar, and then the others have 5.
Nice.
So I do think we're in a acid towards sweetness kind of situation.
All right. Gentlemen, let's crack into...
Can I call you once a week to do this? Just to line up this...
You guys
throw you a photo of what's happening.
Yeah, you got to give me a nickname though, man. Like Dodo. I want to be part of the club.
Oh, you can. You're in.
Dodo.
You're so in.
Okay.
Dodo.
So we've got the ginger lime. I'm going to take a whiff of this first. God. Smells pleasant enough. Smells kind of exactly like you think it would smell.
Ginger.
I definitely get a little bit of the apple cider vinegar.
I gotta say, like, seeing that as the second ingredient, I love vinegar, but I find it in like sweet applications to be a little more challenging, especially in like beverages. Like, I'm not a huge kombucha guy, so I was a little worried that it was gonna go a little too savory. but it's mm-hmm. not so bad. The thing that I'm getting on the tail end is that stevia.
Yeah.
Which I don't know why they need it, because they've got cane sugar in here. Like, they're not going sugar free. Why add that stevia punch at the end?
Yeah, it is an interesting move. I mean, maybe it's really just to keep those sugar numbers down, you know, because people are obsessed with that. But it seems like a bit of a misstep. I would have gladly taken another couple grams of sugar.
Yeah.
Your Spindrift, right, is like the Spindrift, which is, I find, very tart. Sometimes it's too tart, depending on the flavors, is like what? Four, it's like 4 calories or something, the entire can, right? There's a couple of calories in there because of the nominal amount of juice.
I think so. Yeah. And it's just natural sugar. There's no added sugar to the mix.
From the juice. So if you figure this in that same ratio, plus they're tossing a little bit of real sugar in there cut the vinegar a bit. I don't think you need the stevia on top. It just feels, because it's a bad taste that everyone hates.
And it's because it's a bad taste that everyone
and
hates.
I think
I think that's the problem. You kind of nailed it. Yeah.
I think
no one likes stevia.
The vinegar brings a little of this too, but I think it's also the stevia gives you that like kind of dry mouth feeling. I feel like afterburn sort of, and maybe the vinegar's doing a little bit of that, all that being said, this is pretty serviceable. If this was at a barbecue and I grabbed it on accident, I would be like, oh yeah, this is fine. Like,
yeah,
less offensive than like a Zevia or something. You know, it's less
interesting.
It's offensive than something that is like pure stevia trying to be like a diet soda with stevia as the sweetener.
Yeah,
agreed. Yeah,
but I finally got a little ginger. My first few sips, I wasn't really getting the ginger, and now I get a little bit of it. But it's more lime forward for me.
Yeah, and it's got a little bit. It's a little bit more like Pine Sol limey than it is.
Yes. Oh, I wish you wouldn't have said that. I wish you wouldn't have said that.
Yeah, there's a Country Time lemonade sort of like sweetness, aromaticness to it, you know, that was like a powdered like citrusy drink from childhood sort of vibes,
mixed with a little Pine Sol.
Like you just whiffed the mix, right? Like to get the nose off the Country Time lemonade powder.
Exactly
I'm gonna move on.
All right, so we're going to strawberry.
We got a lot of bevs.
Strawberry
here.
Lemon next.
Oh, this one smells like a summertime treat. Smells like popsicle.
Oh, yeah. Love the smell. I kind of...
The first hit was weird.
What'd you say?
Go on. I said the first hit was weird, but go ahead.
I feel like we're always...
I'm into it, I think.
I kind of like this one. It has an odd charm for me.
So, Roro, did you grow up drinking a lot of Snapple?
Oh, great call. I was a little bit of a Snapple person. I get the Snapple essence that you have happening here.
Yeah, there's something hitting pretty hard. I don't know which flavor it is, actually. Is it the strawberry? What is this? Is it strawberry mango? What was that? What was it? One of the Snapple flavors.
Oh, kiwi. Strawberry kiwi.
Strawberry kiwi. Yes. Yeah, strawberry kiwi. They're sourcing their strawberry from the same producer or something, right? Like, it hits super hard on that.
Like, I bet my kids would
really
like
the real strawberry
this.
That's in both of those.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
It is not bad. Even though Roro has been known as Psychic Andy for his ability to predict the near future, a little known fact is that Dan can actually... He can read your childhood beverages. He knew that. That wasn't even really a question. He knew strawberry kiwi was in your childhood beverage profile.
I could just see it all over your face.
Ooh. Who are these four? I'm a little confused.
Strawberry kiwi.
Because this is like a kid's drink, sort of. Who are they trying to get to buy these?
I know it's hard. It's tricky because like, I would be relatively interested in these, especially on my new journey. But like, if you're doing good gut health stuff, like added sugar is really not what you're looking for. And it's not a ton in here, but like, I don't know. I think if you're like selling in that direction, you'd want it to be like legit. Like, you know, you're getting the health for sure that you're looking for.
Yeah.
So yeah, it lives in this kind of weird middle ground for me.
I don't know. Give me an Activia yogurt and one of these for breakfast and I'm good to go for the whole day.
Yeah, and what flavor Activia are you going to pair up?
That's,
you
know, great. It's been like so long. I really got to see what they're rocking these days.
Yogurt pairings. We should have done yogurt pairings. Big missed opportunity here.
There's nothing like that yogurt. And then
is this for someone
sip.
Who... Yeah, you got to hit the fizzy after the yogurt. They really were probably trying to go with a fizz yogurt snack before they landed on the prebiotic soda. Yeah. They were both canned, ironically.
Canned yogurt. We don't have enough of that.
All right, let's move to the next.
Can we do this?
Yeah, open. It's like magic snakes flying out.
All right, this is where it's going to really, this is where Dan is either going to become, get on board, or it might start losing Dan. Dodo.
Yeah, I might just leave. I do like the way this can
this
looks.
Is where the rubber meets the road.
This is nice colors and...
Yeah, it looks great, right? It's just, I wish it wasn't a label. I wish this was the real deal can, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. I also need to tell you this, Dan, and I should have told you a half hour ago. I'm not a big grapefruit guy. I know JoJo is, and we know you are.
I love it. Yeah, it's fine.
Well... I don't know.
The smell is great.
The smell is great.
I will say this.
This one is great until I get the stevia on the very tail end. And it's like it kind of holds its own until just that little bit at the end. And without that, I'd be fine by this.
It feels the most sophisticated of the bunch so far.
Yeah.
Most adult, if you will. How does this compare, Dan, to a grapefruit Spindrift? Because that's not a flavor I normally get.
This has sugar in it. It changes the game totally.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, this feels like more body and richer. It's, you know, I don't know if it has how much juice, 10% juice. I don't know the grapefruit one has that much. But there's like an artificial quality here, given the stevia and all that kind of stuff that Spindrift really is. It's like you're just getting grapefruit bitterness and it's refreshing,
yeah.
You know? So different vibes there. But for me, this is definitely the most successful one so far.
I feel like the stevia is a little more hidden, at least for me, on this one compared to the others, which might just be the grapefruit essence.
Yeah, it's definitely less. It hides it better.
Yeah. It's the one I willingly went back for an additional sip. Yeah, the who is this for question remains, because these are sodas, right? Prebiotic sodas. They're not seltzers. They're not trying to hit that thing. But yeah, it does make the ingredient list is just confounding. I guess that's really it.
Yeah.
Remains.
It's interesting. Some of these cans say distributed by Poppy Austin, Texas, and some say distributed by Poppy Dallas. Not that that's a huge deal, but maybe they're growing?
They all came in the same box.
All right, let's move on to...
There could be some weird blue law that you can't mix raspberry and lemonade or something in Dallas city limits. I couldn't say.
All right, let's try
everything
orange.
Goes in
try
Texas, an orange? Except that.
Okay.
Now, someone said... Oh, Shea Bobe in the comments said, just cracked the orange one today. It was pretty nice. This smells like an Orangina.
Yep. I get slice vibes.
Yeah.
Wait. Anyone else's kind of tastes like a breakfast pastry?
Breakfast pastry. like an orange Danish or something? Oh.
Yeah, maybe like a hot cross bun. A scone. Maybe it's scone-ish.
A scone. Maybe some sort of scone.
A scone.
I don't know. Yeah,
this is fine.
Definitely makes me feel like, it makes me feel like a kid. I've definitely had a lot of orange soda as a kid, you know?
Loved it.
It's Tic Tac. It's an orange Tic Tac. That's what I'm getting.
Fuck yeah. Yeah.
I do feel myself on the verge of
creaminess of like a...
I do feel my head, like I feel like a headache maybe coming on from these for some reason. And I don't know what...
It's good for the gut. They didn't say anything about your head.
Yeah, I don't know what that would be.
This is where the... Now the... All those supposedly good bacteria, this was actually like feeding these gremlins after midnight. Yeah. Like they're all going to come and attack the rest of your body.
Like...
Take over. Maybe we were never supposed to feed them.
Yeah. I'm just perplexed, sort of.
I don't know. Yeah. Am I still just mad at Olipop? It's possible. Oh my God. Not only is this wrapped, to get back to your labeling issue, this little icon, I'll see if everyone can see it, that says, take me off before recycling. Not oh, only yeah. did we burn God knows what kind of fossil fuels to get these to all of us, when we're good friends at Amazon, you have to take scissors to this to remove the unrecyclable plastic, around the can.
Yeah.
To then
this is
recycle the aluminum underneath.
This is a choice that makes me not trust this company at all. Right? You have a lot of decisions to make when you're bringing something to market, right? This decision, you're making a super healthy beverage that would ruin a can of recycling, in theory, if someone doesn't cut the wrapped car wrapping off of it. It seems absurd.
Yeah, they're plastic bottles at this point, right? Because no one does that. No one's separating
things.
100%.
All right, watermelon.
Ooh.
Did you smell this shit?
Porta potty times. Jeez.
Wow.
Oh, it really, this is the porta potty. This is similar to when we had Dave Holmes on the Port Authority bathroom, like the little hockey pucks, urinal pucks. Jeez.
It absolutely is. I have never tasted this watermelon variety before. Ooh.
Oh, you haven't? They don't grow this in Massachusetts, Dan?
It's got to be a California variety.
Smells like a scratch and sniff sticker.
I can't believe they're getting rid of grapefruit and keeping watermelon. Oh my Ooh. God!
Did you guys taste it yet?
Yes.
Ah, bah, 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 bah. It tastes like plain Red Bull.
This is a flavor that they hand over to an intern or like a relative or something. Or like, yeah, yep.
Shoot your shot, kid. Do it.
You got your big
Unreal.
Break. You get to do watermelon. Yeah. Yeah. It's, I mean, it's a risky move anyway to make a watermelon flavored beverage, I think. But like, yeah, I think if you're going to do a watermelon and you want grown-ups to drink it, I think you got to lean into that, like, lime juice and kind of vibes, go agua fresca sort of vibes, because otherwise it tastes like candy. Like, it's just candy, and this happens to be candy from a porta potty, but like it's not hitting for a grown-up taste.
Frowned upon eating it,
and I don't
you
think
don't
want to
try
kids.
The porta potty candy might look good.
You can take another smell of this, guys. This is a horrible. Like, it's really foul.
No, everything about this is bad. It smells like a wet dog and chemical bath. It is.
This must be from the Dallas plant, right?
This is Dallas material. Just
yeah, it is.
I think all of mine are Dallas, actually.
Oh,
yeah,
no.
Yeah, all mine are Dallas.
Oh, no.
Interesting.
Can we jump to this raspberry rosé and just...
Yeah. Let's hope this is the palate cleanser we need.
Is it raspberry rose or raspberry rosé?
Oh, no. I think we're about to find out. Oh, I don't know, but I'm going to decant this
Ooh.
One. Oh, it's pink.
Oh, that's nice.
Oh, yeah. We didn't look at colors.
No, either. Not a bit.
Unique. Kind of another candy, almost like Smarties type candy vibe. Powdery.
Tannins.
Yep. Very fine textured, soft tannins.
After the watermelon, though, this is a dream.
Yeah, it is. And it hits raspberry hard.
It does.
What's the rose or rosé, do we think?
It's definitely not rose. I don't know. Is it?
Why not?
There's something kind of floral about it, I guess.
I wonder if it just rose. Oh, dude, this is stanky. Can we also talk about price point for a second? We didn't Please. Do that yet.
Yeah.
For anybody who played
along. $1,000 for a 12-pack.
$1,000 for 12 cans. It was too much money. It was about $3 a can.
Oh, wow.
And that goes for the other ones as well, which for soda, far too expensive. And for like a kombucha, not good enough. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a poo-poo. So. I don't know.
The time on Earth for prebiotic sodas is short. Let's all be honest. I don't see the appeal of these. I feel like this is something that will be in the rear view mirror probably 2 years from now.
And I know some friends who do a little apple cider vinegar to help with their gut health. And I think that's the move. Like, sure. shoot a little shot of that and then grab a Spindrift, you know, or like something else and enjoy your sipping.
Yeah. You can even just dump the apple cider vinegar into a seltzer or something else. You could just, if you want to dilute it, if you don't like the shot, if it's too much for you, just cut it. That's fine.
You could buy a 6-pack of these, dump them all out, and then put a little bit of apple cider vinegar in there and then just drink that. You know, that would be a smart idea too.
Absolutely. Can we talk about, this is kind of in the flow of waste. I did want to do a new quick segment and we can wrap up here. We'll come back around and list our faves. Yep. But I do want to just do one quick thing. I want to do an instant product review.
Okay. Please.
Which is, we're going camping this weekend, and I kept seeing Jason Momoa advertising a ball recyclable solo cups, basically the Ball brand.
the aluminum ones?
People.
Aluminum?
The aluminum ones.
I saw these, so we JoJo, got a big for the pack first of them. Day. What?
Okay.
Okay. And their big thing on them is that they say they're infinitely recyclable. Now, I was a little bummed. We got the, like, it's probably a 12-pack, and I haven't drank out of one yet. I filled this up with some ice water before the show started. But they're thin. It is about the thickness of an aluminum can.
When you squeeze it, is it like, does it feel firmer than a plastic solo cup?
No, I guess it probably is about the same firmness as a plastic solo cup, but you know, if you really squeezed it, it would be dented and stay that way. You know, like you wouldn't be, I think, restacking. I was kind of hoping for a little bit more reusability, more so than recyclability.
Okay.
But also, full disclosure, I do sometimes, if I'm drinking out of a seltzer can, refill it at the tap and just chug water rather than dirtying another cup. So I think this might have some appeal, but.
So that's going to be easier to refill.
That's much easier to refill.
Yeah.
It works.
To hit that target.
Yeah. It works. I'll give it a B.
And the idea is, like, you can recycle plastic solo cups, though, can't you? Is the idea that...
No.
No?
Well, you could.
Yeah, plastic recycling is so much more complicated. There's, you know, all the different kinds, and aluminum is recycled so much more. Like, there's a better recycle rate for it. And like they say, infinitely recyclable. You can just keep doing it over and over and over again.
Okay, that's
cool. So I think they're great. I mean,
yeah, it doesn't lose.
Just as functional. But I think, we got to go in this direction. We got to get rid of all these plastic bottles. It's like a total nightmare.
Yeah.
I mean, the only thing is you're going to feel a little more cold on your hand. You're going to lose.
Yep.
You're going to lose cold. You know, it's going to change temperature faster, but small price to pay for a planet we can live on, I think.
I think we'll see more. So we did the, like, Liquid Death canned water. When I was in Hawaii, I saw Jason Momoa actually endorsed a water bottle that was a capped water, aluminum water bottle. So I think we'll see a lot more of those in the future too, which will be much better than plastic bottles.
Yeah, and it's not... And the taste is pretty good. It maintains the taste pretty well. I mean, obviously, because plastic distorts taste a lot more anyway. It does take a little, like a second of getting used to, but I'm into this. It's very, it's pretty neutral otherwise. And also like plastic can also be melted or dented or whatever else. It's not as though it's like this ultra durable thing. And yeah, the deal with recycling aluminum is it can be recycled forever without losing its that initial like strength. You can make a one-to-one aluminum product. Like if you had one of these, you could turn it into another one of these. You wouldn't have to, it wouldn't be like, oh, if you had like five of these and you can get one new one that's a little
that's
bit
what
thinner,
you should do on
where
on
that's
your
the
next
case
show.
Of most plastic recycling.
That's what you should do in your next show. You should try to recycle.
What? Recycle stuff?
Recycle that can yourself.
I'll try to make my own.
Live.
Ooh. That's a great idea. I will shape a new, I'll get a can and I will shape a new cup into this and I'll make our own.
That we have something
there.
There
you go.
Okay, something. That feels well, yeah, good.
You just got to get it up to like 1200 degrees to, okay. for it to melt. So
yeah, JoJo's got a flamethrower. We can do.
I have a flamethrower.
Well, let's real quick, gentlemen. Let's rate these from top to bottom. Let's see. I'll go first. I'm going to go at the top of the pile. I think I'm going orange, then ginger, lime, then I'll do. I think the raspberry rose. Then grapefruit, and then I'll go strawberry, lemon, and then watermelon way at the bottom. Way, way, way at the bottom. I think that's my rating. And I don't feel super strong about any of these except the bottom one, to be honest.
No, trash.
Yeah. JoJo, what about you?
Oh, me? God, who cares? I'm going to go... I think grapefruit was the best. Orange second.
Not that one.
ginger lime third. Nope. Okay. So grapefruit, orange, strawberry, lemon, ginger lime, raspberry, rose, watermelon, trash.
Okay.
Oh my God, the taste on these things, the way they're mixing together is vile. It's like, it's all like herbs and a weird, I'm getting like savory flavors on my palate in a really, truly disgusting way. And I also had a sip of coffee in between to really fuck it all up.
You might be having a stroke too, I don't know.
Leave it there. How you doing, Dan? Yeah, so, I had a stroke.
Yeah. You're like, and I just smell maple syrup and toast.
Yeah, his hair's burning.
So I'm grapefruit at the top. I'm orange, raspberry rose, ginger lime, strawberry lemon, watermelon at the bottom. Mm-hmm. But if I never drink any of them again, I'll be quite happy.
Great.
So be it. All right. Well, Dan, we have got one more segment of the show. And that segment is called
Brian's question.
JoJo, I feel like we're in different times, but we're going to have you read. My brother-in-law sent us 100 questions in the first iteration of the show, and he sent us 100 more. You're going to read this question, and let's see if you can answer it for us.
What is the acceptable limit for how much to spend on an insulated water bottle?
Ooh, great question.
I mean, so if you're going to use this and really replace a lot of like single use plastic stuff, I think it's like, it's got value in that way. If you're not going to use it like that, I think you should go lower, but, I don't know. I'd cap it at like no more than $30.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's decent amount of money there. But
what
if you really are going to like,
have, by the way, do you have a water bottle that you use? That's your go-to?
I have like a tall Yeti that I drink water out of, you know, drink water and tea and all that kind of stuff out of.
Yeah.
So that's kind of my go-to. But it was like swag. I think I got it at, did I say swag? Isn't it swag? It's swag. I got it at,
I think I swag is when they give it to you.
Swing.
And
swag is
I don't know.
So it's swag. It's
swag
is
what
it
gives you.
It's got my name on it. Yeah. just says D-A-N in capital letters. So when I leave it around the office and stuff, I can get it back. So it's helpful in that way.
That's nice.
Yeah. But so I know people, there's so much more innovations and stuff like that. I should probably dig in more. And maybe, I don't know, maybe I'm way off. Maybe these things are like $50. Who knows?
I feel like a Yeti could get you over that $30 price point pretty easily, actually.
Wow. Okay. Yeah.
Jojo, what do you think? What was the price on that, your most recent Hydro Flask?
I was just trying to look it up. I found one on clearance. I got an orange 32-ounce Hydro Flask because they replaced it with like tangerine, also orange. Anyway, and that new one, if I had just bought it, I think it was going to cost me $50 for a 32-ounce water bottle. And so I think did get it for under 30. I think I got it for like $28 or something like that. They are expensive, but I think Dan is right. I mean, I think it's too much money. I think it's asking too much of people for ultimately what it is, right? I think that especially if you probably road tested these things side by side and you tried like, if there's like a clean canteen and a Yeti and a Hydro Flask and then there's also like a Coleman one or something, I bet you they all do the exact same thing. And there's one that's $12 and there's one that's $60 and then it's just like a design question. Do you like the whatever? This one has a nice tactile finish to it, powder coat or not. Like, I don't think, I doubt the technology of a stainless steel water bottle is really that like different.
Brian from Brian's Questions, they definitely have a couple Yetis in their house, but he's a big fan of a brand that kind of goes up against them as like a cheaper brand. I think it's called RTC. Does that ring a bell for either of you? I'll ask him what it is maybe next week. But it's like half the price of the Yeti stuff, everything from the tumblers and water bottles to the coolers even.
RTIC.
Oh, there you go. That's it.
Yeah. Oh my God. This Arctic. Is crazy. Yeah, you can get it. Oh, I get it. Wow. Arctic Yeti. So Arctic, is a 32-ounce Arctic is $1,839 from their website.
Nice.
There you go. So that's easily half the price of a Hydro Flask in the same same size. Oh my God, I'm trying to look these things up, man, on the fly. This is the problem. Brian's Questions. We don't pre-screen these. We like to get hit with them on the fly. We didn't know he was going to ask us for research.
So my crew at the Test Kitchen, we have like a whole reviews arm, which is called ATK Reviews. And so they do everything and they like put it through paces and drop it and all that kind of stuff. And I was just looking and they really like the Zojirushi stainless mug. So it kind of comes all back around.
I love it.
Full circle.
Wow. Hydro Flask, $26. Yeti is $50 for 36 one.
Really paying for that brand recognition on the Yeti.
It's true.
All right. Well, gang, thank you guys so much. Dan, this has been such a delight, and I feel like you dropped so much knowledge on us, and it was incredible. Where can people check you out? I know your socials kind of all over the place is at Test Cook. When can people find you on America's Test Kitchen? How does that run down?
Yeah. So, I'm on every season. You can watch episodes of it on americastestkitchen.com. We've got older episodes on YouTube, but I would love everyone to check out, my own personal YouTube. I mean, it's through ATK, but, it's the one that I kind of make and produce called What's Eating Dan.
Awesome.
And you can hop on YouTube and I just cover like one ingredient, one thing. I have a whole carbonation episode that you all should check out. I have one on
amazing.
Yeah. Champagne and carbonation. But I'll cover like tomatoes, asparagus. And the whole goal is that like, watch this, you know, they're not that long, sometimes about 8 minutes, watch this 8 minute video and your understanding of this thing that you cook and eat all the time, like will be totally changed. There's a lot of stuff, you know, digs deep on science and, some great recipes and stuff in there too. So, that's a fun one. I love making that. So
that's amazing. I'd
love folks to check it out.
I will definitely check that
out. Oh, that's super fun.
But yeah, thanks for having me. This was really fun.
Thank you for doing it. Thank you for taking the time in the midweek. And thank you to everybody out there for joining us. live in the comments as well.
Yeah, amazing. And yeah, this was Mating Dan. Thanks again. And everyone follow Dan. Go check out all of his content. And we will see you guys next week making some old fashions. And last but not least, this might be one of the last times, JoJo. I feel like a new era is coming soon for us. But
you're probably right.
Until then. Last but not least, until then, go
fuck yourselves.